I do have something from the Lord. I know it's from the Lord. It's something in my heart. And it's something that was actually birthed out of my own devotions. The Lord just showed up in a devotional and really began to challenge my faith. And really began to challenge where my heart is at in my faith. And I want to talk to you about why Christians do not come to Jesus. Why Christians really do not come to Jesus. I want to go to actually three passages of Scripture. I'm fortunate I have a Bible with different Bible markers. If you only got one, you'll have to use your fingers. I want to go to Matthew chapter 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, I'm sorry, Matthew 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, and John chapter 4. I'm going to start at Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to begin at verse 29. Verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Let me go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Going to look at one verse, and that's verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, all your needs, all your concerns, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now go with me to John chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 46. "So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child dies. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to mend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house." Let me pray this morning. Father, I just pray that this word this morning would find its mark within our hearts. God, I pray that our hearts would be open, that I would not stand behind this pulpit, and my brothers and sisters would not sit in their pew with just an indifference in the heart, an apathy in the heart. But Lord, there would be something in the heart that would truly open to hear what you're going to say. And God, as we hear your word, Lord, let it find its mark in our heart. God, you know why you sent this word at this particular time. God, let our hearts be humble, and let our hearts be hearing, and let our hearts be hungry, God, to hear what you say. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In John 4, we have the story of a nobleman. And a nobleman is simply someone who has been born in a royal family. And this nobleman comes to Jesus in desperation because his son is lying at the point of death on his bed. And so this man comes to Jesus in Canaan, and in his desperation, he implores Jesus to come back to Capernaum with him and heal his son. And it's then that Jesus gives the response to this man, "Except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." Now, what I want us to understand is a lot of people take that when Jesus said to this man, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." A lot of people take that Jesus is saying to this man, "You are an absolute unbelief. You're consumed by unbelief. You are unbelieving." But that is to misunderstand what Jesus is saying. And we're going to talk about in a moment what Jesus meant by that. It's a powerful truth. But what I want us to see is this man did have an element of faith. No matter how small it may have been, he had an element of faith. And let me explain by what I mean by that. The trip from Cana to Capernaum is a 16-mile trip. When you study it out on the map or go to the commentaries, they'll all tell you it's a 16-mile trip. Now listen, today 16 miles isn't long. It's not a long distance. But when you're traveling on the back of a camel or you're traveling on the back of a donkey, it is a long way. It actually takes you a half a day's journey, if not longer. So there had to be an element of faith in this man's heart to leave the bedside of his dying son and get up and go to Cana to find Jesus to heal his son. Now, where did this element of faith that was in his heart come from? Well, up to this point, in John chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus did many, many miracles up to this point. And so it's pretty obvious that he had heard of the miracles that Jesus had done. Maybe in John chapter 2, he was there in Jerusalem on the feast of the Passover when the Bible says that Jesus performed many miracles. Maybe he was there for that feast and he saw with his own eyes the miracles that Jesus did. Beloved, whatever the case is, there was an element of faith in his heart to believe that Jesus' power could match his crisis. Jesus' power could match his need. There was a faith in his heart. And here's the thought that the Lord put on my heart as I was just meditating over this scripture. If he had not believed, he would have not come. In his heart, he would have said, "What's the point?" If there had not been any faith in his heart, there would not have been any strength in his heart to get up and make the journey. And beloved, in times of need, in times of concern, how many Christians never truly go to Jesus in prayer? How many concerns do we have about ourselves or our family or our children that we really never take to Jesus in believing prayer because we really don't believe our prayers are going to make a difference? We really don't believe, we really don't go to him in believing prayer and take time to pray believing prayer, believing that he's hearing, believing that he's going to answer, because in our heart, we really don't believe our prayers are going to make a difference. The Lord really challenged me on that point. And yet we go about doing all of our Christian stuff. We attend church regularly. We pray with our family before we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We teach Sunday school. We are faithful to join church outreaches and work in church outreaches. But when real needs and concerns rise up in our life, there doesn't be there just doesn't seem to be a strength in us that will take us to a place of really praying and praying believing prayers. Beloved, I remember the very first time the Lord taught me, proved to me that he hears my prayers. And it was actually in back of a police car. You can smile. I had only been saved 2 weeks. And I was actually coming from my pastor's house. And the police pulled me over. And he got me out of the car and he made me go sit in the back of his car. And he said, I believe we have a warrant for your arrest. You have a fine you haven't paid and it's overdue. And so we have a warrant for your arrest. And you know what? He was right. They had a warrant for my arrest. But I had only been saved 2 weeks and sitting in back of the police car, I remember praying to the Lord and saying, "Oh God, I don't want to go to jail again. You know how many months I have spent locked up in county jails and I'm sick of being in jail. Lord, I thought when I got saved I was never going to have to go to jail again. And God, I'm asking you." The prayer just came into my heart. I'm asking you, when he picks up the radio and calls in my license, can you just shut the computer down. I know, Lord, I know that sounds like a strange request, but I don't want to go back to county. I don't want to go back to jail. And Lord, could you just do that for me? You know my heart. I was praying this. I was saying, you know my heart. When I get back on my feet, the first thing I want to do is go to the courthouse and pay this fine. God, I don't want to go to jail. Can you shut down that computer? Well, sure enough, he took my license. And he got on the radio. And he said, I want to run a license. I want to run a check on Timothy Williams. And the lady came back on the other side, and she made some comment, and then suddenly she said, oh, wait a minute. My computer just shut down. You're going to have to give me a minute, because it looks like it's going to take me a minute to bring it back online. So give me a minute. What is that name again? And he said, never mind. Roger, out. And he looked at me, and he said, this must be your lucky day. I'm going to let you go. So I got out of the car, and I remember driving away thinking, you really did it. You really did it. Now, here's my point. I'm not saying we can use God as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, I believe with all my heart, I was so young in my faith, 2 weeks saved. That is really the first prayer I ever prayed save, asking God for help. And I believe he did that because he wanted to show me, first of all, he's real. He's really real. And he really hears me when I pray. I'll never forget that day. I remember a time some years ago, as a newborn babe in Christ, I had developed a hernia and I was in a lot of pain. And I didn't have the insurance to go to the doctor. And so I stayed in a lot of pain. And one day I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and I was in excruciating pain. And he said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? I know you're in pain. I said, I've developed a hernia. And he said, well, let me pray for you. And I'll never forget it. He's got half a hamburger. He's ate the first half. He puts the hamburger down, reaches over our French fries, places his hand on my shoulder, and he prays, God, would you just help my brother? Would you heal him? Right now he just doesn't have the insurance he needs, and I'm just asking, Lord, would you just touch him? Would you heal him, Lord? And I pray it in Jesus' name. And beloved, when his hand left my shoulder, immediately the pain went away. 100%. And from that moment until this moment, I've never had a pain since. God healed me. He healed me. I remember a time a few years ago, I was really going through something very hard as a Christian, very hard. And I remember going into my place of prayer and praying, God, why am I going through this? This is so difficult. This is so hard. Why am I going through this? And that night, the Lord spoke to me in a dream. In this dream, I was standing on top of a mountain, looking into heaven, going, God, why am I going through this? And suddenly, in the heavens, I saw a pair of hands. They were old hands. Like a father's fatherly hands, a grandfather type hand. They were old hands, but they were strong hands. And they were holding a Bible. And God spoke to me very tenderly. He said, you're going through this because I'm writing my word in your heart. That's why you're going through this. Beloved, what I'm saying is, I know God can miraculously answer prayer. I know he can supernaturally answer prayer. So does this mean the Lord will always answer prayer immediately and the way we want him to? No, it doesn't. But I am convinced he hears my prayers. Beloved, this is what the Lord put in my heart. If I take the precious time to bow my knee in prayer, God will take the precious time to hear my prayer. And I am convinced of that. My prayers, your prayers, never fall on deaf ears, because He loves us too much not to listen to us when we pray. Now, let's go back to our story. Look with me at John chapter 4. Look with me at verse 49 and 50. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And here's what I'm emphasizing. And the man believed the word Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. So Jesus spoke his word, and the man's son was healed. And beloved, I can honestly say with an honest heart, whenever I've been in a very distressful time, a very uncertain time, a very fearful time, God has never failed to speak to me from His Word. He doesn't always say, Yes, I will heal. Yes, I will put a stop to this. He doesn't always say that. But yet, He's never failed to come with words of strength. He's never failed to come with words that say things like, Tim, I love you, and you'll never walk one step of the way without me by your side. He's never failed to speak a word in my heart that says, Tim, when you come through this, you're going to see my will for your life is going to triumph. He's never failed to meet me in His Word when I went to Him in prayer. You know, a few years ago, me and my wife went through something very difficult that lasted about a year. Through this whole year, we lived in fear. We lived in uncertainty. There were times that doubt just tried to grab our hearts. And the thing about it is, at this night, we had to walk through this alone. There wasn't really anyone we could share it with. We had to walk through it alone. But I'll never forget those times when my wife would come out of the prayer closet and she would open her Bible and she would say, I've got a word from the Lord. And when she would sit down, we would sit down and she would begin to explain to me what the Lord showed her out of the Word. Suddenly the presence of God filled that room. Suddenly the presence of God filled our hearts. It's as if Jesus, and I believe He was, it's as if Jesus Himself stepped into that room and said, Peace be still, everything's going to be okay. It was such a supernatural presence, a supernatural peace. Beloved, in that time, it was the Word of God that got us through it. And I thank God with all my heart, when we take the time to pray, God takes the time to speak from His Word. I thank the Lord for that. Now, here's really the heart of my message. There's something that's really weighing upon my heart. I want us to see in this story. And really give me your humble ears, because this is what the Lord wants to speak. I want you to look with me at verse 50 and 51. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son lives. Now, beloved, capture this part in your heart. Don't let it escape your heart. Capture this part. So Jesus spoke the word, and the situation immediately changed for this nobleman. But yet this man had to journey back to see the fulfillment. Capture that. Jesus spoke the word. It's automatically done. But in order to see the fulfillment, he had to make a journey back to see the fulfillment, to see the answer. And beloved, sometimes there is a journey involved. It doesn't mean God has spoken into the situation and brought the answer we needed. It doesn't mean God hasn't spoken into the situation and given us the breakthrough we needed. Yes, he did speak. It's already done. The moment we prayed it, he declared it. But yet sometimes there's a journey you have to go on to see the answer, to see the fulfillment. I know of many cases people prayed and asked God to intervene, but were deeply disappointed because God didn't answer immediately or in the way they asked Him to, But only to find out later God was in control all along and the answer was being worked out in their lives in God's time and in God's way. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. There are times we'll bow our knee in prayer and out of our heart pour our hearts out to God, and God will immediately answer it. He'll immediately declare the answer. He'll immediately say, it is done. You have the answer. But in order to see it, sometimes there is a journey you have to go on before you see the answer. When I was first saved, I hate to keep going back to my first saved stories, but this is what is on my heart. When I was first saved, my mother shared something with me, a week or two after I got saved. She opened her Bible and she showed me a prayer that was in her Bible. 3 years earlier, before my salvation, on January 27th, she wrote a prayer in her Bible that went something like this. God, please save my son. He's on drugs and alcohol and living the destructive life, and I put him wholly into your hands. Please save him. He is very precious to me. And then she dated it in her Bible, January 27th, 1990. Beloved, I got saved 3 years later. Do you know what day I got saved on? January 27th, 1993. And in that, the Lord spoke something very precious to my mother's heart. This is what he spoke. 3 years ago, you knelt and prayed for your son to be saved. And I decreed it and I declared it that moment you prayed it. There was a 3-year journey involved before you saw the fulfillment, before you saw the answer, but it was answered the moment you bowed your knee and asked for salvation. Beloved, when we take the time to pray, He takes the time to answer. And sometimes when you pray, He'll answer it there, He'll decree it there, He'll declare it done there, but in order to see it, there's a journey that has to be taken first. But here's the question I want to ask. And what happened at the end of this man's journey? Look with me at verse 53. It says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And I really want to emphasize those words, and himself believed. Listen, this doesn't mean he went from unbelief to faith. No, he had an element of faith. This means his faith that was so precious to the Lord was purified. That's what it means. See, when you look up this word believe in the actual Greek language, it speaks of sincerity and it speaks of genuineness. Capture that. It speaks of sincerity and genuineness. In other words, his faith became unfeigned. His faith became uncorrupted. His faith became genuine. His faith became sincere. And this is what always happens when our faith requires a journey. When we pray and God says, I'm answering that prayer. I'm declaring that prayer answered now. I'm decreeing it now. You have your answer. But in order to see the answer, you have to begin to go on a journey. Beloved, when we get to the end of that journey, that's always the result. It brings a genuineness of faith. In other words, God gets in the heart and He starts burning out all that fluffy stuff we call faith that's not genuine faith. He begins to start burning that stuff out of the heart, and your faith suddenly becomes genuine. It suddenly becomes legitimate. It suddenly becomes pure. It suddenly becomes sincere when you make the journey. At the end of the journey, we're never left disappointed. God said something so miraculous, and our faith, which is so precious and priceless to Him, becomes so much more genuine, pure, sincere. That's what happens. See, when we bow our knee and we pray those prayers, we don't always know when God is in heaven saying, it's done, it's decreed, it's declared, it's answered. We don't always hear that. But a lot of times God says that. But He says, in order to see the fulfillment, you've got to go with me on a journey as I work the answer out in your life. But beloved, when we go on that journey of faith with God and we come to the end of that journey, it produces a purity in the faith. Now I want to answer the question, why Christians do not come to Jesus. When needs and concerns arise in our lives, why so many never truly go to the Lord in sincere and believing prayer? Why so many never do that? Look at verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now here's what I want you to understand. This is what the Lord made real to my heart. Signs and wonders are not wrong. Seeing signs and wonders are not wrong. All through the four Gospels, Jesus confirmed the gospel with signs and wonders. In the book of Acts, Paul's preaching was always confirmed with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not wrong. Listen, when Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He's not saying signs and wonders are wrong. What he's saying is this. Now capture this. He's saying, except you continually see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless God is always performing miracles in front of your eyes, you will not believe. You only have faith when you see God performing miracles, and when He's not performing miracles, you have no faith. That's what He's saying. So let's answer the question, why do many Christians live in so much unbelief? Because when God delays in answering our prayers and we're not seeing the miracles, we fall into unbelief. When our faith requires a journey, we fall into unbelief. When God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers miraculously, or He's not answering them the way we asked Him to, we fall into unbelief. Beloved, we have to come to a place in our faith that no matter how long the journey is between the prayer and seeing the answer, God is faithful. We've got to come to a place in our faith when we do not see God answering our prayers the way that we asked Him to, God is still faithful. If the only time we believe is when we're seeing miracles, and then when we're not, and then we're not seeing God move and give miracles, then we fall in unbelief, then our faith isn't genuine at all. It's not sincere at all. It's not legitimate at all. The only time I believe is when I'm seeing miracles, and then when God doesn't seem to be moving and answering, I fall into unbelief. That's not faith at all. God is saying you got to come to a place in your life where it's not just about seeing me do miracles all the time. Whether I open a blind eye or not, I'm still God. Whether I give you your breakthrough or not, I'm still God. Whether you get the answer that you're expecting or not, I'm still sitting on the throne and I'm faithful to my people. The only time you have faith is when you see my hand do miracles, but then you fall into unbelief when I don't seem to be answering your prayers and you fall into hopelessness and doubt and discouragement. That's not pure faith at all. Here's the bottom line of the message. And I truly believe it comes from the Lord's heart. When we take precious time to pray, God takes precious time to listen. And if He listens, He's going to answer according to His will. If we do not see the answer immediately, as we stay in His Word will give us the comfort and strength we need until that moment we see the answer. Beloved, Abraham's my example. Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, it's decreed, it's declared, you're going to have a son. It's already done. It's already spoken. It's already answered. You're going to have a son. But Abraham, in order to see the fulfillment, there's going to be a 25-year journey. But here's what's on my heart. Do you know what made all the difference in the world for Abraham? Now please hear this. If you go to sleep on this part, you're going to miss a big part. Hear me. Do you know what made all the difference in the world for Abraham? Do you know why it says in Romans 4 he grew strong in faith while waiting 25 years to see the answer to his prayer that God had already decreed on day one? He was a man that God continually spoke to. when you read his story through Genesis, he was always talking with the Lord and the Lord was speaking with him. In other words, he was a man that lived by the word of God and was led by the word of God. In all my years as a Christian, I have noticed something. In the waiting times, the difference between those who grow strong in faith and those that just spiral more and more into unbelief is the word. One has a life in his word. The other has a life spending all their time in front of the television. It's what we do with this word that determines in the waiting time whether we're going to grow strong in faith or spiral more and more into unbelief. Please hear this. I have noticed in my Christian walk what sets the two apart. It's the life we have here. Those that are in their waiting time, waiting for God to answer. And in that waiting time, their faith is getting stronger. Not their doubt and unbelief. Their faith is getting stronger. It's because they have a relationship with God in this word. But those that are just falling more and more into unbelief and unbelief and unbelief, it's because they live their life in front of their television set. No time for the word, no life in the word. That's the difference. Beloved, we're only going to grow stronger in our faith, or we're just going to spiral into unbelief. And the difference is, where does this play a part in our life? It's a living word inspired by a living Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to end with this scripture. Go with me to James chapter 4. Look with me at verse 2. It says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war. Stop there. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. Look at the last part. You have not because you ask not. And here's a thought that's really setting on my heart. When we get to heaven, will there be a time we realize how many prayers for help and strength and breakthrough and deliverance God was ready to decree to be answered? But we never truly prayed and asked because we never truly believed. We were doing all our Christian stuff, but in so much unbelief. Will there be a time we get to heaven and God's going to say, you had not because you asked not. I had an answer. I had a miracle. I had a breakthrough. And yes, it may have even required a journey, but it was there for you. But you never attained because you never asked. You never truly believed I care about your needs. You never really came to me in believing prayer. That when you pray, I can come and intervene and make a difference. I have what you need. You had not because you asked not. And the reason why you didn't ask is because you really didn't believe.